Hi, I'm Vernon Trollinger for Optometry Times, and this is 10 questions for Aaron Tarbett, OD, optometrist at the W.G. Hefner VA Medical Center in Salisbury, North Carolina. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Akron, Ohio. It's, in a smaller town, actually just south of it, kind of between Akron and Canton, called Uniontown.
What did your parents do?
My mom, she was a secretary, which largely took a lot of time off to raise us. Mm-hmm. And my father was a manager for a division of aerospace at B.F. Goodrich. And he managed basically the aerospace technology there and the selling of their products.
How did you get from microbiology to optometry?
I always had a goal and in mind of being an optometrist. So really microbiology, that was an undergraduate major, but really I was focused on getting to optometry school as soon as I graduated high school, really. I knew that's where I was going to go, and so I focused my curriculum along those lines, and microbiology just happened to be basically the major I chose.
Well, how did you become interested in optometry then?
I was actually my optometrist as a kid. I thought he was fantastic, knowledgeable, a great doctor, great bedside manner, and it seemed like a great profession, and so I took a liking to it and moved right along as I could.
Well, after you got your OD, what drew you to eventually become practicing or start practicing the military?
Well, when I graduated optometry school, I actually moved down to Virginia Beach, Norfolk area. Really, I moved down there without a job, with nothing really, nowhere to live, and I just decided that's the place I wanted to start. So I moved down there, and eventually, I was down there for only a few months, but I called on with a private practice in Maryland, actually on the Eastern Shore. Mm-hmm. And how I got to the Walter Reed Army Medical Center was that I graduated with Aaron Betts, fellow classmate of mine, and he was stationed there. They were looking to bring on an optometrist to help manage some of the diabetes, diabetic retinopathy, and things like that there. And so that's how I ended up there. They brought me on to manage that.
What were some of the day-to-day battlefield injury cases that you treated?
As far as battlefield injuries, I mean, we've seen a lot of things that happen. Mm-hmm. Most of the stuff, most of the major stuff is going to be managed by ophthalmology, but as far as optometry goes, the big stuff we would see would be traumatic brain injury. That's probably the biggest thing that we dealt with as far as optometrists go. But, of course, then we'd see the fallout from a lot of the globe injuries, whether it be corneal perforations, open globes, things like that. Mm-hmm. They did have scarred corneas. We do a lot of, medical contact lenses and things like that, to help them see better following the recovery there. So that was our biggest part, is probably traumatic brain injury, medical contact lenses, and that sort of thing.
You became chief optometrist at Walter Reed in
2007, 2008 or so.
2008, okay. Well, what was your biggest achievement as the chief of optometry at Walter Reed Army Medical?
Chief of optometry, as far as the chief goes, probably, we had the BRAC, the base realignment and closure, mm-hmm. and probably the biggest thing was to kind of seamlessly integrate that transition. I mean, that was a big transition, the closing of Walter Reed, mm-hmm. and the building of two new pretty giant medical centers, military medical centers. Mm-hmm. And so we did a lot of work with that, a lot of planning as far as the clinics go, staffing goes, and that's probably one of the bigger achievements that I have there. We also helped implement electronic medical records as well as automate the clinic, some of the latest technology. Those are probably some of the biggest things, as well as just basically caring for the fallen service member.
How has the Military Eye Trauma Treatment Act changed mild traumatic brain injury and visual dysfunction treatment in VA hospitals?
In VA hospitals, I don't have, I'm in the VA now, I've been here about a year. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing I know about the Military Eye Trauma Treatment Act was the development of the Vision Center of Excellence.
Right.
And the Vision Center of Excellence was with us at Walter Reed, and they were engaged in kind of aligning research, creating a data repository for eye injuries. As far as traumatic brain injury, I know they have been engaged in research and that sort of thing, but I couldn't put a finger on exactly, you know, what large strides the Military Trauma Treatment Act has made, mm-hmm. other than the fact of recognizing it, making sure that it's recognized, making sure that it's, you know, the information's out there for providers to treat it properly. Mm-hmm. Those are probably the main things, as the awareness and training of military staff to cope and see these patients that have traumatic brain injury.
I came across a paper you co-authored having to do with a mild blast injury. Have you found many, I guess the phrase would be civilian applications?
You know, we worked a lot with looking at some automated technology, mostly to help, you know, if we could pre-screen these guys before they were exposed to blast and then test some of this, you know, do some of the same tests that we did pre-deployment. You know, those are the types of things we were looking at. Nothing has been implemented, as far as I know, as a standardized protocol for really screening for traumatic brain injury, whether it be on the battlefield or with sports-related concussion. I haven't seen anything implemented civilian-wise. I think just the nature, you know, TBI these days is, really, it's everywhere. You know, can you hear it not only with our soldiers returning from the battlefield, but also with, again, the sports-related injuries, and particularly chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE, with the NFL and that kind of thing. So I think the level of awareness of traumatic brain injury is much greater. I think we're dealing with a lot of the fallout from a lot that we hadn't recognized in the past. And so as providers, as optometrists, I think everyone has become more aware of it these days.
What was your biggest challenge as a military OD?
As a military OD? Good question. I can't really put a finger on as far as the biggest challenge. Mm. And there are always challenges day to day with everything from the wounded soldier and family member and everything else that comes through to all the government training that you have to do to be able to provide care in the clinic, to having to, you know all the military terms and everything else that goes along with it. So, you know, as far as an optometrist in the military, yeah, you have, as far as a civilian optometrist in the military, I think you have to be pretty flexible and pretty engaged to keep up with everything that's going on in there, because things do change quite a bit. You have to deal with up-tempo, as they say, and then you also have to deal with furloughs and things like that that come with, you know, lack of government funding that we had to go through. So there's a lot of things that you can't control. And that's probably the biggest challenge in the military is the lack of control.
Let me stand the question sort of on its head then. When you started out coming from a civilian practice and joining Walter Reed, what was the biggest challenge there?
probably getting the ranks. Probably getting all the ranks correct, you know, for Navy and Army and everything else. You know, being able to delineate a staff sergeant from a sergeant major, probably the biggest thing. You know, getting used to the time change, 1500 instead of 3 o'clock. So all those little things that I had to get used to were probably the big change, but I loved it. I loved every aspect of it. Hmm. So I was happy to get involved and learn all that because I thought it was great. So those were kind of the big things of acclimating to a military and not really having gone through any kind of boot camp, if you will, for an introduction.
Why should young ODs seriously consider working with patients in the military?
You know, I think the military is a fantastic, you know, whether or not they go into they take a DOD position as a civilian working with military patients, or they go into the military themselves. At the military facilities I was at, phenomenal doctors. You know, the colleagues there were great. Not only that, probably the most appreciative, polite, respectful patients that you'll ever encounter in the military. And they actually do what you say, which is fantastic. You know, they're still used to following orders, being active duty, so they will actually follow your recommendations, because if not, you know, their commander will lay it on them. So I think, you know, I can't imagine a better place to work. It was wonderful there.
You were the White House optometrist to both the Bush and Obama administrations. What
Correct.
Was that like?
Right. You know, I mean, it was pretty stressful when we when I first saw those guys. Mm-hmm. You'd hear their voice on TV, and you know, I'd be waiting in my exam room, and I'd hear them come in, and you'd say, wow, that's the voice that I've heard so many times, especially with Bush after 9/11 and everything mm-hmm. else that went down then. So, you know, the initial examinations with them and meeting them was always a little bit nerve-wracking, but actually we ended up having great rapport, and so taking care of them was really a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. How many times a year do they, I mean, how often were they in? Was like they're getting their once-a-year exam, or?
Not often. I mean, that's pretty uh-huh. much it. You know, sometimes we'd see them sooner. There are other issues that would arise other than their annual examination, their annual physical.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, basically we would see them once a year
mm-hmm.
Just with their annual physical.
After working with both presidents, when it came time for you to move on to your current job, was it something of a relief to leave the White House?
You know, that's always it. Yeah, as a civilian in that position, and it's typically held by military, and military will change out the position because they have a permanent change of station. So, mm-hmm. You know, because I was a civilian, I'd never really have to leave that position mm-hmm. unless they made a change themselves. So I'd always told myself that I was never going to stay in there indefinitely because I think it's a great opportunity for another optometrist to have be a White House optometrist. So when I left, and I had great feelings about it, and it was kind of a relief because, you know, not only are you the president's optometrist, but you're also everything for the White House, which means all the cabinet members, all the staff, everything else. Anytime they have a question, they're calling you. Mm-hmm. So actually, I was on call quite a bit for those guys. I didn't have to do a lot of going into the clinic itself, but I fielded a lot of calls that came my way. So to finally give that up, it wasn't the worst thing in the world at this time.
Okay. Well, what do you do for downtime?
Downtime, you know, I probably have way too many hobbies, actually. I'm always getting yelled at for all the equipment I have around here, you know, whether it be a golf equipment or a mountain bike or scuba diving or something like that. But I like a lot of activities. I play, you know, a lot of chess, actually, read a lot of books,
mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of different things.
Well, you've done an awful lot, and you're adjunct faculty, I think, at Salus, worked in the mm-hmm. White House and everything. Do you have any regrets?
As far as regrets, no. You know, I don't really have any regrets. I mean, I think anybody has regrets. You know, you don't go through life without regrets on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of anything that I would necessarily do differently. There's other things that, you know, I would definitely consider, you know, mm-hmm. joining the military. I didn't realize how great the military was, you know, when I was in school and in optometry school. I think it's a great opportunity, and I very well may have taken that if I knew then what I know now.
Hmm.
But, you know, as far as overall regrets, not a lot, no.
Last question, and we inflict this one on everybody. What's mm-hmm. the craziest thing you've ever done?
The craziest thing I've ever done? You know, I don't know. You know, I think of the crazy stuff of these guys that do base jumping and mm-hmm. and they fly around the squirrel suits and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Probably for me, it was leaving, you know, optometry school right afterwards, just moving to a place where I didn't know anybody, and just being able to see, you know, if you can actually make it on your own. So I think that was probably, I look back on it and say, wow, it's pretty crazy just to move down there on a whim and take a chance and see what became of it.
All right, Aaron, it's been great talking to you. Thanks for taking your time to talk to me today.
My pleasure, Vernon.